It is Father's Day, so I have an obligatory picture of my children up on the screen, taken at a time, I have no idea when it was. I can't remember yesterday, so I don't know what day when this was. Anyway, they're all grown, they're all married, we have two grandchildren, but they're still my kids. They are. And when I think about my kids, I really think of them more around this age in my head than I, you know, my daughter's 20, my oldest is 29, and I'm thinking, no, you're not. You're nine. Okay? Just skip the last 20 years. It's hard to parent growing children. Whoever said it, we got a good bonding going on. I want to parent them. But even biblically, they have left home. They've left father and mother. They're cleaving to their spouse. They have their own family. We get together once or twice a year. We video chat. We try to see each other as much as we can, but it's hard to parent growing children. I can't send them to their room anymore. That day is gone. That day is gone. But I'm still their dad. And I struggle with that. I struggle with how do I continue to be dad? My role has so changed in their life, and they don't need me in the sense that they needed me before. I've lost some of that childhood connection. And just frankly speaking, I'm a little sad. I kind of missed them. Now, I'm not romanticizing the past. I really like empty nest. I like it when they're home. And generally after 3 days, go back to your own place. I get that. And don't disrupt my life too much. But when they first come home, it's like, man, this is great again. I love it. It's hard to parent adult children. Father's Day and Mother's Day are two very different days, by the way. Mother's Day is this wonderful time. You dote on mom. You tell her how great she is. Dad's Day comes and it's like, did we send them a card? Remind me to call them this afternoon. I know I'm going to forget. Father's Day is just different than Mother's Day. It just is. But this morning, as we walk through these encounters with Jesus, I want to take us to an encounter where Jesus tells a story. And the story is really about God and not so much about the two boys. And that's where we're going to begin. But let's have a prayer together. Our Father in heaven, as we open your word today, as we ask you to help us to hear you through Scripture, to see you as our Father in heaven, our prayer today is that we will learn from you, especially as dads, we will learn from you how to deal with our adult kids and maybe some things that can be helpful to us in our relationship with our human children. Thank you for being our loving Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When Luke gives us this encounter, he sets the stage for these three very, very well-known parables of this lost sheep and lost coin. And we say prodigal son, and that's really kind of leaving the elder brother out, but it's really about these two boys. But the point of the parable, reason for the parables, is found in the first two verses of Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear him. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's the reason why all three parables are told. Right there. The whole point of this is, how could Jesus fellowship in such a way with people whose spiritual life is so lacking, but he doesn't treat them and condemn what they are doing? Instead, he is eating with them and in a relationship with them that really seems counter to how these Pharisees and teachers of the law would have viewed the way Jewish people and God fellowship. I sit just with this opening, and the very first thing I am so thankful for is Jesus is a friend of sinners. I'm just thankful for that. That he fellowships with me. I'm like the most least deserving person. And he doesn't dismiss my past. He doesn't condone my past. Instead, he calls me into this relationship that is so fantastic that repentance on my part in order to please my Father in heaven becomes my desire, not my duty. It becomes how I want to live life because I so cherish the relationship that we have. Jesus saw people and helped them to see God. And so each of these three stories, and we're only going to deal with the last one, but each of these three stories center around the relationship someone has with the Father. And yes, there's a lost sheep, and yes, there's a lost coin, and yes, there are really two lost sons, a younger brother and an older brother, but it's not so much about them per se. As in each of the three parables, is when that sinner repents, how heaven rejoices. It's about God. And it's about the God that wants to be in a relationship with the people that don't deserve to be in the relationship. So our story begins in Luke chapter 15, with verse 11. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." I don't know what your family relationships are like. But boy, this is the most dysfunctional family I can find in Scripture, or at least one of them. You have a young man who has the gall to say to his dad, "I really would rather you be dead than alive, because I'd rather get from you what I get when you're dead than what I get from you when you're alive." As a parent, how do you deal with that? If your child looked at you and all that you have provided for all of those years and said, "I'm tired of living here. I'm tired of living under your roof. I'm tired of living under your rules. I'm tired of living in this family. I'm tired of my brother. I'm tired of the way life is. and I want to go and do my thing. And the only way that happens is if you kind of give me the money to go and do it. And that's not going to happen till you're dead. But here's the thing, Dad. Just give it to me and I'll get out of your life and you get out of mine. That had to be a tough day for any dad. And the thing is, this father gives the young man his inheritance. And I'll tell you, for a long time, I wrestled, because God is the father of the story. The young man are those, quote, sinners and tax collectors. I wrestle with, how could the father in the story give that person their inheritance and let them go? Because that's God, and Jesus is telling the story, so I know it's got to be right somehow. I've got to figure out how it's right. Because I don't think I would do that to my kids. I'd say, tough, first of all, I earned this money, not you, so it's not yours. It's probably where I would start. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is about relationship. What the father does is say, in the parable, and don't make it more than what it is, it's a parable. The father says, you're not required to be a part of the family. You're desired to be a part of the family. But if you want to be a part of the family, that has to come from you. I'm not going to force you into this relationship. I don't know if you've ever had any strains with an adult child. I've got four in-laws. I probably have had strains with all eight of them. I want family. I want relationship. But I cannot demand it. I can't. And even if I did, it would kind of fall on deaf ears anyway. So letting this young man go was really the only thing the father could do. I know, it's a parable. I'm not trying to make more out of it. But what he does is he says, okay, if the family doesn't bring to you what you're wanting the family to bring, if I don't bring to you what you're wanting from me, and you feel like you have to go and experience life on your own, then go. I would love, you know, it is a story, so I wish Jesus would have done more with the story, but that's not what he's intending to do. He wasn't writing a novel. But in the parable, the young man then goes away. And he has all this money and he goes away. And in most translations just say to a far country. The idea is he got away as far as he could from dad, from home, from everything that was his. He ran as far as he could run. And he lives life. And he lives life on his terms. And that seems to be, and it's just a couple of verses, and it seems to be fine until the money runs out and a famine comes in and it happens at the same time. So now I have no more cash available. I've used up, I've squandered what my father gave to me, the goodness and the purity and the perfection that he gave to me. I blew that. And now I have nothing. So my choice is either die or get a job. And I don't want to die. So the young man gets a job. And you got to keep the audience in its context. These are Jewish people. So when Jesus tells a story, the young man gets a job feeding pigs. Okay? We all understand from a Jewish point of view, you really couldn't get any worse than that. And that's all that Jesus is trying to point out. this boy hit rock bottom. Because the truth of the matter is, he's in that pig pen feeding those pigs. And Jesus says in the story, longing to eat the pods he was feeding the pigs. Okay, I'm finally living in the country again. Go figure, after 24 years in the city. I have been on farms multiple times in my life. I have never once decided I want to eat what the pigs eat. Never one time in my life did I have that fleeting thought in my mind. Jesus is taking me to a place, because what that young man realizes when he comes to his senses, the pigs are more valuable than him. They get fed even if he doesn't. Pigs have more value than the sun. Now, if that doesn't just take the wind out of your sails, nothing is going to. And so here he is in that pig pen of life, and he comes to his senses, and he decides, I'm going to go to my father. And he says, and Jesus says to us in verse 18, he's going to say to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He comes to his senses and he says, my dad, as much as I hurt my dad, is kind enough that I believe he will help meet my needs, even if I have ruined our relationship. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say, I'm not coming to you on a father-son level. I can't do that. I destroyed the father-son relationship. What I'm asking of you is, could you just give me a job out in the field somewhere? I'm not asking to come home. I kind of like seeing it again. But I'm not worthy of this. Man, he thought through all of that. He thought through all of that, and he decides to go home. And verse 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The father went running to the son. This is a story about the dad. This is not a story about the two boys or the sheep or the coin. God goes running. He's the one that's been hurt. He's the one that's been mistreated. He's the one that the son would rather have been dead than alive. But when he sees his son coming home, he runs. He runs to that boy. And he embraces him and he kisses him. And the son tries so hard to get out the whole repentance thing. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And he tries to get all that out. But dad isn't even listening for that. Dad's like, call the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf. I guess you could call him. But kill the fatted calf. Bring some shoes, some sandals, and put it on the feet of my boy. Bring the family ring and put it back on his hand. That's my dad that he is talking about. And that son experiences a love that it seems no mortal could ever experience. And Jesus is trying to teach that's the love our Father in heaven has for us. Shouldn't the young man have gotten out all the bad that he did before the father said, I forgive you? The fact that he came home was all the repentance that the father needed to see, because he knew the heart behind the one coming home. He knew the heart. He didn't have to wait for him to get to the front row before he embraced him. He ran to him. He kissed him. He hugged him. So I asked myself, what lessons does that teach me? It's Father's Day, and I'm a dad, so I got to learn from the story. What is it that God wants me to learn? If I'm going to emulate my Father in heaven, then the first thing I want to understand is, like him, I will be hurt by my kids. I'm sure they, if they were listening to this, they would hate to hear it. But the truth of the matter is, yes, I have been hurt by my adult kids. Not nearly like this story. Nothing like this story. But to say that they have never said or done anything that hasn't brought some pain into my life as an adult child, that would be a lie. They have. I decide on what I want to do with that. But I have to recognize I don't have perfect kids either. My kids bring me some pain. The second thing is, I want to run to meet my child when they repent. I've had confrontations with my kids. I'm thinking of one in particular, in which I was really hurt through the conversation. The child knew it and apologized later, afterwards. I appreciated the apology, but I wanted to be the dad that would still run to that child and say, I don't want what happened between us to have to keep being brought up time after time. I want us to be us again. And yes, you're a growing young man. And yes, you have your own life. I get all that. I just want you to know I love you. I love who you are. I want to run to meet him. I want him to know he is loved. And number three, I want to promote some family unity. We don't have time to go into the rest of this parable. We're not going to get into the older brother. But if you know the story well enough, the older brother is out in the field working, hears of the party going on, finds a servant to say what happens. He says, your brother's come home, your dad's killed the fatted calf. He's having a party. The older brother won't go into the house. He won't do it. We have four kids. Do you think they've ever argued with each other? Do you think they've ever said some things that's hurt one another? As adult kids, not just little kids at home, but kids outside of the home? Yes, they have. Have mom and I not heard some of those phone calls about what brother or sister said? Yes, we have. But if I'm going to take something away from this lesson for me as a dad, it's that I want to speak positively about all of my children to my children. That's what I want to do. I'm not going to dismiss the fact that they've had the argument. Okay, you've had the argument. You've had the disagreement. But that's your brother, or that is your sister. And they love you and you love them, and we're going to work through this. So let's get together. I want to promote unity in the family. And frankly speaking, I don't do this as well as I should. My emotions get involved. And I'd love to say, man, I'm the perfect dad that always says everything right. I mess up. I mess up with my kids. But I'm striving to do this. The last thing is, I want to celebrate what is right about my kids and not look or focus on what they have done in the past that is wrong. It is easy for me to remember a negative than it is to remember a positive. It is easier for me to embrace a hurt than it is to embrace a gift of love. It shouldn't be. I'm just being honest with you. So it is hard sometimes to not forget the past, but to not let the past define the present. And that's where I've got to learn. The past is there. I acknowledge it. And I also will acknowledge the repentance either from me or from the child. But I want to see what's right now. And right now is where we stand. Right now is our beginning of tomorrow. And focusing on the past is not going to fix the problem. I acknowledge it, but it's not going to fix the problem. It's Father's Day, and I am blessed. I have children that care about me. I expect text or phone calls today because they have to do that. I get that. I'm replacing my kids with family that comes in with James and Sadisha and the boys. I'm a blessed dad. But I also have a dad. And I talked to my dad. And I'm looking forward to seeing him later this summer. Hopefully you all will get a chance to meet him. But I have a heavenly father that is beyond any relationship that I have here. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love my dad. I love my siblings. But I've got a Father in heaven who loves me, who cares for me, who walks with me. And every single time I mess up, he will open his arms to me. All I got to do is come home. That's me. Come to my senses. That's me. But I don't have to worry, will he accept me? The answer is always yes. So today, what each of us have to look at is, are we home? And I hope the answer is yes. No, we don't have to fill up a front row. I hope the answer is yes, and we're home. But maybe your life is a little fake on the outside, and home isn't what you've thought it should be in your relationship with God. I'll tell you, it's time to come home. Just put it all aside. I know that's tough. But let me or someone here be the first to hug you and say, welcome home. Welcome back. This is us, and we're going to live together. And if we can help you to do that, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?